How many of you love Mondays? Any of you love Mondays? Yeah, be careful with that one. Yeah. Monday has a well-deserved bad reputation. It's after the weekend. It's hard to get up. If anything goes bad, at least for me, it's usually on a Monday. I don't like it. I came here and my computer wasn't working on Monday and I was stuck, you know, not doing a whole lot. And that's frustrating on this one. Sometimes Mondays can be a bummer. Any day can be a bummer, actually, you know. And I started thinking through this. Am I trying to make life harder than it really is? Have you ever thought about that? Am I trying to make this harder than it really should be? And so I began to look at all of life. Am I trying to make this harder? And I realized, no, I'm not. It's hard on its own. I mean, life can be hard on its own. But sometimes I think through, if I get caught in that little pit or that little treadmill of life is not going so well, I can get stuck. I really can. And so what we're doing is we're in a series we're calling Lighten Up. You know, lighten up. Because we sometimes make our world or our life harder than it should be or harder than it has to be. Because sometimes we just simply want to kind of live in that kind of a situation. I think we live sometimes like practical atheists. And you know what a practical atheist is? We believe God exists, but we don't act like it in our practice. We think like today is going to be a horrible day, or today things are going to go really, really bad. We are practicing atheists as if God were not in control of all this thing. Jesus said, "Don't worry, I'm in charge." Yet we worry anyway. Jesus said, "I'm with you always," and we think we're in it, what? By ourselves. Jesus said this, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." And that's good news for you and for me. And so I need to tell myself, lighten up. You know, lighten up. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about hope. This was a theme of ours about 5 or 6 years ago. We're going to bring it up again because we sometimes forget about hope and what hope is and what hope does for us. Hope is a God word. The kind of hope that God gives us is a God word. This is how we define hope. Hope is an assurance that a loving God is in control of life and my life. And no matter what happens, good or bad, he's loving and in charge, and it's okay. All right? That's what hope is. Hope is, it's an assurance that a loving God's in control of life. And if you can get this embedded in your heart, it would be great. He's in charge of life, and he's in charge of my life, your life, my life. He's got it. No matter what happens, good or bad, he's going to be loving to me. And he's going to be in charge, and it's going to be okay, and you will be okay. So how do I lighten up and find hope in life? Remember a few years ago, Taylor Swift sang the song, you know, Trouble, 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 you know, Trouble, Trouble, Trouble. Well, and that's true. And people say, don't sweat the small stuff, you know, don't sweat the small stuff. And then we want to retort and say, but yet, if you have enough small stuff, I start to sweat. You know, there's lots of sweat in the small stuff. And we do have small stuff. 92 gets closed again. You know, that's a small thing. But then there are big things. And I can, again, annoy and complain about the small things, but what about those big things that do hit and do come into our lives? The bullying at school, or our kid, or the lousy marriage, or the breast cancer, or, you know, your father with dementia, or son's addiction. I hate those things. In fact, there are words that sum up sometimes how we feel. The Bible says that we can be troubled and we can have doubt and there can be people against us and we can be badly hurt. In fact, there's a Bible passage that says we are troubled, but then it goes on to say, but not crushed. We are in doubt, but never in despair. We have people against us, but we're never without a friend. We're badly hurt at times, but we're not destroyed. Those are good words. And then there's a comma between the phrases. For instance, troubled but not crushed. In fact, there's a comma in between all of those. Troubled, doubt, people against us, badly hurt, but yet We're never crushed, and we're never in despair, and we're never without a friend or not destroyed. And the trick in life is getting from one side to the other. How do you get from one side to the other? For you visual learners, I brought up a frame here, and it's going to serve as an illustration for us for the rest of this morning. And if you want to take notes, if you want to think about this one, one of the things we have to do is you have to reframe your view of life. Now, this is a frame right here, and I'm going to tell you what it means when I say reframe my view of life. Once I was at a card store buying balloons, believe it or not, and they had picture frames. I noticed they had some picture frames on the shelves. And on those picture frames, they had actually words on this, that, and you're supposed to, you know, put in the frame that which the words say. For instance, there was a picture frame that said, you know, my vacation on it, and you would put in the frame what? Come on, you know, my vacation, okay? Wow, my vacation. World's best friend, you'd put what?
World's
best friend, there you go, thank you very much. World's best mom, you buy and put a picture of who in it? Your mom, okay, mom, okay. I noticed they had a surplus of the world's best pastors. They had a whole crate of those, no one had bought those. And the frame helps you understand what's going to be in the picture, okay? That's what the frame helps you understand. The frame helps you understand what's in the middle of the picture. For instance, you don't put a picture of Bakersfield in best vacation ever, okay? You don't do that. And framing, and it's a term, is how you look at life, you know, how you look in the frame. What's in your frame here? And we can put our view of life in frames. For instance, we could write on our frame, life is fair. Okay, that's a frame. Life is fair. Or we can put in, life is easy, or good guys win, or bad guys lose, or things don't fall apart, or bad things never happen to good people. That can be a frame. It's kind of our philosophy of life. Get it? Understand it? That's kind of the way we want to look at our whole world. But those aren't good frames because they're not accurate. Those are not accurate frames. And if I look at that frame for that, and the picture doesn't show or reveal what's on the frame, then I'm going to get all confused and disappointed and lose hope. If you say life is fair, and when life isn't fair, it creates a dissonance or a difference in your head. Jesus is very realistic about our frames. He said this, in this world you're going to have trouble. There it is, in this world you're going to have trouble. You just will. And there it is. You can write trouble on your frame. Sometimes our frames don't account for that. Any middle kids here? Do we have any middle kids here? Any of you are middle kids? Yeah. Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. There's a great reward for you in heaven. because you know the true meaning of hard life. The middle kid is not spoiled like the oldest, okay, and is not pampered like the youngest, okay? I have a great meme, and I show us. Go ahead and hit the next picture. There it is. The moment he realized he was now the middle child. Look at that kid. And the middle kid will oftentimes say, that's not fair. You know, that's not fair. When I was her age, I couldn't do that. And if you're a parent, you have the joy of saying those wonderful parent, that wonderful parent phrase, life is not what? Life's not fair, okay? And that's why I think middle kids get that more than anything else, and that's why middle kids are the most well-adjusted kids in the universe, okay, on this one. And however, if my frame is life is fair, you're going to get devastated, and you will lose hope quickly because God never said that life is fair. The Old Testament is full of, quote, not fair. The New Testament is filled with life is not fair. This is a broken world. In this world, you will have trouble. But what's your frame? If it's this, A loving God is in control of life and my life, and no matter what happens, good or bad, he's loving and in charge. It's okay. Then I can live with whatever is going on inside that frame. Second thing is look for God's bigger picture. I took an art class in college because I had to take a fine arts class, and it was either art or singing. And there was no hope in that one. and they would show, and you had to buy the book, you know, and the book was a beautiful book. And it had that which would be called a detail of certain paintings on it. If you've ever seen it, and those of you that are artists know. And the detail is they took a small little piece and they blew it up, and you were to look at the detail of this, but it wasn't the whole picture. It was just a small, small little part. And I looked at one of the details, and it looked like nothing but a muddy river going by, you know. But then you turn the page, and it showed what that detail was part of, and it was part of the Mona Lisa, the most famous painting in the world, beautiful painting. And sometimes we only can see what I would say is the small detail slice of what's going on in our lives. You have no idea what's going on until you see the bigger picture. And I can only in my life and in my world, because I'm an experiential person like all of us, I only live in this moment of time, in this time. And I can only see what's going on here, and I can't see what God's going to be doing down this way, and I'm not quite sure how it's building up from the past. I only see the detail, this part, and I don't see the beautiful thing that God is really trying to do in my life. I look at this frame and I want to say, this is my frame, but it's not my frame anymore. It's whose frame? It's God's frame. It's God's frame for me. And if God is going to be doing something in here, then I'll let him do that. I'm in it, but this whole world is not about me. And so the Bible says this, he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but only for him, who died and was raised to life for their sake. What a cool verse. The Bible tells us our message is that God was making all human beings his friends through Christ. God did not keep an account of their sins, and he's given us the message which tells how he makes them his friends. What if what you're going through right now, this momentary affliction, is going to create in you something that will change somebody else's life in 10 years from now? Would you go through it? If we can somehow, I can move away from my small little slice of life. Last thing is, I need to look outside my frame. My little picture of my life, it's limited to my little frame, the 80 or so years that I'm going to be living here. I can't see beyond my frame. And that's why Paul says again, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And I want to say, what does it mean, light affliction? What does it mean, eternal weight of glory? It means something small that's happening today that's hard is changing and making me into something that's incredible. At some point, that will be revealed. When our kids were infants, were little kids, we took them in for baby shots. And if you remember that, you bring this helpless little thing in, you know, And I remember clearly our little baby, you know, really fat, chubby thighs, you know, that you got kid with these big, fat, chubby thighs, and did I say that right? Fat, chubby thighs. And you put them on the table, and I remember the nurse coming in with two needles, you know, there are two needles there, and she's going to do them both at the same time, and I'm thinking, wow, okay, and they say, now, can somebody hold the baby, you know, still on the table, and so I did, and I don't know, I just didn't want to watch, you know, because I don't want to watch the needles, stick those needles in, so I closed my eyes, And all of a sudden, there was this just this piercing scream. And after a moment, Lisa said to me, "They're done, Paul. You can quit screaming now." Okay. So, but we do this. I mean, we do this. Why? Because we want to close our eyes to the things. But light and momentary, we have our kids go through this because light and momentary affliction will produce in them an eternal weight of health. You know, a long life of health. And if we do that for our kids, won't God for that? The Bible is written with an eternal perspective. And again, I live my life in this little frame, but the Bible is written from an eternal perspective. And we're going to last forever, and that means that life is only a blip, a hiccup, a frame. That's all it is. And it keeps going on. And if there was no eternal life and no life beyond this, you have every right to complain, because life is not fair and life is hard for everybody. It really is. We have every right to complain that God's not being right. But suppose that it goes on forever, and that this life is helping us become what God wants us to be for His glory, and then to help and serve the world that He loves so much. And that in 10,000 years from now, maybe we should get back together again on this date, you know, and we'll get back together in heaven, and I'll say to you, "Hey, remember that problem you had in 2025? Remember that problem you had in 2025? And you might say, barely. But I remember that you, Paul, whined a lot about Bakersfield. I remember that. You know? But again, what he's trying to say is momentary light affliction is changing your life. Don't live life only in a frame or in a wrong frame or in a bad frame. Think of it as an eternal thing. We're not out of God's will because bad things happen. You're not. You're not out of God's will because horrible things are going on. There's a world outside my frame that a loving God has control over. And He's working and working always. And He said, "In this world you'll have trouble. I've overcome the world." He has said, "If I'm for you, who's going to be against you?" And so remember this, it says, we are troubled but not crushed. We are in doubt but never in despair. We have people against us. We're never without a friend. We're badly hurt at times. We're not destroyed. When I'm shoved around, I can remember the whole thing is about God. Or when I'm in doubt or having a bad Monday, or having a horrible relationship, I move on because of hope. I want you to remember always that a loving God is in control of life. A loving God is in control of life. That's hope. And that my life, and no matter what happens, good or bad, He's loving and in charge, and it's okay. And I've asked the worship team to do a pretty cool song, and the first time I heard it, a number of years ago, I said, "Wait, did it really say that? I mean, did it really say that?" Kind of like, "Oh man, I like this song." But here are the words, and then the chorus. It says, "Oh my soul," it's like my soul's talking to itself. I'm talking to myself, you know. Sometimes we do that. "Oh my soul, remember who you're talking to. The only one," capitalized, "who death bows to. There's only one name given among men that death has to bow to, and that's the name of Jesus. And that's the God," it would say, "who walks with you. That God walks with you. The one that death bows to, that's the God that loves you and cares about you." And as they do that song, you can sing it too if you want. You'll have thoughts of what's going on in your life. Death bows to Him. He walks with you, and He is not finished yet in your life.
quickly we forget that God lives in every day. How easy to lose sight that you reside in the mundane. How quickly we forget the power that's running through our veins, the kind of power that empties graves. And oh my soul, remember who you're talking to. The only one who death bows to. That's the God who walks with you. And oh my soul, you know that if he did it then, he can do it all again. His power can still raise the dead. Don't tell me that he's finished yet. Lest we not forget the voice that's holding back the waves. That's the voice that told the skies to pour them into place. Let us join the endless song of everlasting praise. The only God who empties. And oh my soul, remember who you're talking to. The only one who death bows to. That's the God who walks with you.
Don't tell me that he's finished yet.
So as the song is played, I'm familiar with the song. I don't know if this is sinful or not, but my mind began to wander. Sorry, but you guys do it when I speak anyway, so it's not. And I began to think through a problem that I'm going through, you know? It's like, oh no, I got to deal with that one. And here I'm singing about a God who walks with me, who raises the dead. And all of a sudden, my frame was getting all goofy, and I yanked it back into reality. That I have hope that God, who raises the dead, can walk with me through this one just as well. Isn't that awesome? Great verse that it says, Jeremiah wrote this in the Bible. It says, I'll never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. He's going through a tough time. Yet I still dare to hope. When I remember this, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin fresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will, what? Hope. Hope in him. Isn't that cool? Pray with me, would you please? I would say, let your mind wander to that problem that you're having right now. Let your mind go there. It's going there because it's hard and it's a challenge and you're frustrated by it or anxious about it or hurting or grieving over it. Place it in the frame that says, God loves you. Place it in the frame that says, Jesus has overcome the world. And the frame that says, he's not finished yet. Lord, we come here as people who sometimes have scattered lives and scattered minds and struggle when we don't need to, but we do anyway. And we sometimes struggle with hope. And I pray that, God, we would always remember your deep, deep, deep love for us. No matter what the situation is, there's always a hope that there's a God who raises Jesus Christ from the dead and gives us that power and that strength, and that you're not done yet. And I would pray that we would keep that in mind as we walk with you. And we praise you, Lord, so much and thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.